This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
We also saw that the parties to the revitalized peace agreement were able to stick to what they signed on, and we did not see any major exchange of guns.
That was the head of the Anglican Church in South Sudan, Archbishop Justine Buddy Arama, talking about some of the good things that have happened this year. Details coming up. Also, there are growing concerns about the future of democracy on the continent. And we hear season's greetings from our listeners. These stories and more on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. The head of the Anglican Church in South Sudan, Archbishop Justine Buddy Arama, says as South Sudanese celebrate Christmas and usher in the new year, he remains hopeful that 2024 will bring change to the country. VOA South Sudan in Focus managing editor John Tanza sat down with the Archbishop at his residency in Juba to discuss some of the challenges facing South Sudanese as they celebrate Christmas.
We know in 2023 there were good things that have happened, and also there were some challenges that have happened, but we rejoice to God that we were able to go through all these things.
Let's talk about the good things that you're saying that happened. What are these good things?
The good things we saw as a church, we were able to move around the country with the evangelism, discipleship, and also to have regular worship in all our churches across South Sudan. That was something we were able to thank God for. And secondly, we also saw that the parties to the revitalized peace agreement were able to stick to what they signed on, and we did not see any major exchange of guns, which we are grateful for that. And we see that the revitalized government have also made some steps in forming some committees and institutions that will pave way for the elections. Which is something we are grateful and we are thankful to the revitalized government for that.
Talk about some of the challenges. You say there were good things and there were some challenges. Talk about the challenges. What are some of these challenges?
There are many challenges, but I will mention few. One of the challenges was the intercommunal violence, which caused loss of lives, destructions, and the displacement of citizens in many parts of the country. The second challenge is the harsh economic situation, which made life very miserable to many South Sudanese. And it has continued even during this Christmas. Many families are not all that happy, 100%. Though you may find people singing, but they just sing maybe 30% or 40% because the economy has hit us on all people. And on top of that, we just received influx of refugees and returnees from the neighboring Sudan because of the ongoing violence there. So this has also added to our misery as South Sudanese. Especially the border towns with Sudan have received lots of these returnees and refugees, including the city of Juba. That also adds to our misery.
That was Archbishop Justine Buddy Arama, the head of the Anglican Church in South Sudan. He spoke to my colleague John Tanza on Sunday in South Sudan's capital, Juba. The leader of the world's Roman Catholic, Pope Francis Sunday began global Christmas celebrations with a call for peace as Israel's war on Hamas and Russia's invasion of Ukraine cast a shadow over one of the world's favorite holidays. The pontiff presided over the evening mass amid the splendor of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. Francis expressed his sadness at the current conflict in the Holy Land in his homily.
Il nostro cuore stasera è a Betlemme, dove ancora il principe della pace viene refutato dalla logica perdente della guerra, con il ruggire delle armi che anche oggi gli impedisce di trovare alloggio nel mondo.
He says, tonight our hearts are in Bethlehem, where the Prince of Peace is one more rejected by the futile logic of war, by the clash of arms that even today prevents him from finding room in the world. During his traditional Angelus blessing overlooking St. Peter's Square, earlier Sunday, the pontiff remembered those suffering from war.
Siamo vicini ai nostri fratelli e sorelle che soffrono per la guerra. Pensiamo alla Palestina, Israele, l'Ucraina. Pensiamo anche a coloro che soffrono per la miseria, la fame, la schiavitù. Il Dio che ha preso per sé un cuore umano infonda umanità nel cuore degli uomini.
Pope Francis says we are close to our brothers and sisters suffering from war. We think of Palestine, Israel, Ukraine. We also think of those who suffer from misery, hunger, slavery. And he asks that God infuse humanity into the hearts of men. Pope Francis also told the thousands of attendees not confuse celebration with consumerism and enjoy Christmas in simplicity without waste and by sharing with those who lack necessities or lack companionship. Now, time for some holiday greetings from our listeners.
Hello, good afternoon, guys. I'm using this opportunity to wish my family of Mr. Friday Emeka Ebo of Enugu State, Nigeria, and the family of Ms. Peter Edan, Chief Ms. Peter Edan of Abia State, Nigeria. I wish them Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This opportunity to thank my family for everything that they've done to me. When I was nobody, my father, he was destroyed by me. So I thank my family in a big measure. Attend the session, VOA, Voice of America. Continue with your good works. I wish you guys Merry Christmas and Happy New Year in advance. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Hello. I'm called Biaranga Arthur from Chatokor Kunjiri, Southwestern Uganda. I want to wish all the people who knows me, all my relatives, the friends, and everybody a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. From the bottom of my heart. My name is Musa Ebelete from Monrovia, Liberia. Firstly, I want to extend my thanks and appreciation to the entire VOA team, including the VOA Africa team. I want to say I'm proud of you guys. I'm wishing you guys a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Lastly, all my family and friends, Merry Christmas and a happy, happy New Year.
From Kawambwa, Zambia, Mopla Province. I first greet my children, my wife, and all those people that know me here in Kawambwa. I greet all the workers, all the people I work with at St. Mary's School for the Village Olympiad in Kawambwa. I greet all the parishioners at Kawambwa St. Mary's Catholic Church. And I greet my father, my brothers, my cousins there in Kitwe on the Copper Belt of Zambia. I also greet my college mates from Mansa Teachers Training College in Popular Province, Kawambwa. I also greet people I was with at the Zambia Institute of Special Education. And I also greet all the listeners to VOA, or Voice of America. Merry Christmas, a productive, fruitful, and prosperous 2024.
We love your holiday greetings and hopes for the new year. You can send them to us via WhatsApp number +1 202 258 3076. Once again, +1 202 258 3076. Africans are less optimistic about democracy than they've been in decades, according to Afrobarometer, an independent research network that measures public attitudes across the continent. Darren Taylor reports.
An Afrobarometer survey of 36 countries shows Africans still want democracy, but the poor governance many experience is making them increasingly disenchanted. Joseph Asunka is the chief executive officer of the independent research organization. He told the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington in November, "It's deeply disturbing that growing numbers of Africans are in favor of militaries intervening if elected leaders abuse power." In its data from 2021 to 2022, while 66% of Africans preferred democracy, 38% are not happy with the way it functions in their countries. Afrobarometer Board Chair E. Guillaume Bouadi in June said the steepest drop in satisfaction has been Mali, Burkina Faso, South Africa and Guinea. Burkina Faso, Mali and Guinea have all experienced military coups in the past 3 years. Some political analysts say they'll remember 2023 as a year when Africans lost faith in democracy. Dr. William Mpofu, governance expert at Wits University in Johannesburg, says he doesn't blame them, considering what the year brought. War and genocide in Sudan, conflict in Democratic Republic of Congo and Ethiopia, Islamic militants terrorizing millions across the Sahel, while soldiers seized power in coups and military takeovers. Elections plagued by irregularities, including in Nigeria and Zimbabwe. Mpofu said at a recent Good Governance Africa webinar, many African nations are not truly democratic because they are still controlled by ethnic elites and former liberation movements.
Right from the time guerrillas and their political leaders emerged from the bush, they emerged possessed and intoxicated by a one-party state psychology, where they were not going to brook any political opposition and where they were going to deploy force and fraud to force electoral and political victory. And things have not changed.
Mpofu says despite all the talk of an African renaissance and of Africans becoming more affluent, 2023 showed that few of the continent's leaders are sharing Africa's wealth with their people. According to the United Nations, 1 billion of the continent's 1.4 billion people could not afford a healthy diet in 2023. Mpofu says poor leadership is largely to blame. He says Africa's struggle against colonialism resulted in a democratic experiment and not real freedom for Africans.
That was a short circuit. You don't democratize before you have liberated. Political class in Africa that was fighting the colonial class of settlers also became colonial. Political class is not the voice of a democrat, it's not the voice of a liberator, but the voice of a native colonialist, saying to the world, allow me the right to bully my own people, exploit the resources of the country, global political opposition because I am a native.
Professor Kabele Matlosa of Lesotho is the former director of political affairs at the African Union. He wrote the AU's Charter on Democracy, Elections and Governance, which it adopted in 2007. But since then, Matlosa tells VOA, power-hungry elites and army commanders, sometimes backed by Russian mercenaries, have undermined the democratic gains Africa made in the 1990s and early 2000s.
Since mid-2000s, democracy has been in retreat on the continent, and we've seen a spate of military coups, and that trend of military coups is continuing. We have seen unconstitutional change in the form of sitting heads of state and government tampering with constitutions to prolong tenure in government. This is continuing as well.
The Afrobarometer figures indicate that 53% of those surveyed would tolerate military intervention in their governments. Kenyan historian and international relations expert Macharia Munene says 2023 saw a resurgence of authoritarian leaders in Africa taking on former colonial power, France. He cites the leaders of the military juntas of Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger as examples.
So what we have in recent times in the West Africa, in the Sahel, are not normal coups. It is a revolution taking place. And this revolution is not targeting the domestic players, the presidents, ministers. Those are not the issues anymore. It appears that the target are those extracontinental forces that actually put those presidents and leaders in office and then call it democracy. You look at those people, they are grandchildren of the liberators, or the people who inherited the colonial state.
The Africa of 2023, says Mpofu, had what he called a split personality. Its leaders talked of modernizing and industrializing, while the continent remained largely mired in hunger, conflict, and political instability. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. Loss and risk come with the job for war correspondents as the wars in Ukraine and Gaza exact a heavy toll. VOA's Christina Sisado-Smith speaks with two veterans about their experiences and why they keep reporting despite the dangers.
The first bomb struck as Fox News reporter Benjamin Hall and his crew returned from a day's reporting on Russian attack in the city of Horenka, outside of Kiev.
A few seconds later, the second bomb landed just next to the car. Now that one, there were five of us in the car. Pierre, myself and Sasha in the back seat and two Ukrainians who were driving. And the second one blacked me out.
The blast from that 2022 attack knocked Hall unconscious. A vision of his family spurred him to get out of the vehicle.
My daughter, my little 8-year-old daughter, right in front of my eyes came to me and said, "Daddy, Daddy," she said, "you've got to get out of the car."
Badly injured, Hall pulled himself free. He survived, but cameraman Pierre Sargweski and Oleksandra Kurshinova, a Ukrainian reporter assisting the team, lost their lives. With serious burns and injuries, including the loss of a leg, Hall underwent multiple surgeries. The experience, he says, serves to remind journalists and audiences of the risks media take to report the news. Conflicts in 2023 account for most media deaths, with three killed on assignment in Ukraine and the Israel-Hamas conflict killing more than 60 journalists to date, most Palestinian. For local journalists, covering the effects of war is a deeply personal experience. Arwa Damon is a journalist and founder of Inara.
And for them, it's not just a conflict. For them, it's their life. It's their family. It's their society. It's their culture. It's their cities.
Damon, who covered conflict in Syria and Iraq, says journalists are also at risk of being targeted deliberately.
And Iraq was a very, very dangerous place at the time for journalists to work in. There was a price on our heads. It's very different when journalists are being deliberately targeted versus taking on the risk of just being in a war zone.
For the Israel-Hamas war, groups like the Committee to Protect Journalists emphasize the need for reporters to work safely. Their audiences, says Sherif Mansour, are counting on them.
Sherif Mansour, CPJ's Middle East and North Africa program coordinator.
But hundreds of millions all over the world were following this heartbreaking conflict, try to understand it, and they rely on journalists in order to get timely and independent information and commentary.
Hall and Damon agree that a free press is the main way for people to make informed decisions. Hall, who returned to Ukraine in November and met with President Volodymyr Zelensky, published a book about his experience. It serves not only to tell his story but to pay tribute to colleagues and friends lost along the way. And Damon founded the charity Inara, which provides medical and mental health services for children in war zones. With no end in sight to either conflict, media advocates are pushing for all sides to ensure journalist safety. Cristina Caicedo Smith, VOA News.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Palestinian medical officials say the death toll from an Israeli airstrike in central Gaza has risen to 106. The Sunday night airstrike in the Maghazi refugee camp is among the deadliest in Israel's air campaign in Gaza, launched on October 7th in response to a deadly cross-border attack by Hamas militants. More than 20,000 people have died in Gaza during Israel's war against Hamas, the latest indication of the enormous cost of the conflict as Israel expands its ground offensive in Gaza. Philip Weiss is editor-in-chief and founder of Mondo Weiss, a blog that represents Palestinian voices and opinion piece from Jewish Americans. Weiss began the blog in 2003 when the U.S.-Iraq war got underway. The primary rationalization for the war was articulated by a joint resolution of the U.S. Congress in which the U.S. claimed the intent was to disarm Iraq of weapons of mass destruction. Weiss tells VOA's Carol Van Dam, many Jewish Americans like himself believe Palestinians are being persecuted by the Israeli government.
The indigenous people there just will not accept, ultimately, second-class and third-class citizenship. And so my understanding that Zionism is not the answer has been borne out over the years again and again, including by the genocide we're seeing now, including by the atrocious resistance we saw on October 7th by Hamas targeting people in their homes. Yes, horrible and inevitable, just like the slave revolts of 1832 in our country when slaves rose up and killed civilians because they rejected slavery. Palestinians are living under a form of slavery, apartheid, Jim Crow, you can call it segregation. It's a horrible persecution reminiscent of the Jewish persecution in Eastern Europe, and they will not accept it. Ultimately, there has to be a vision of equal rights. There was a terrible upheaval in our country in the 1860s with the Civil War over similar types of issues, and ultimately the answer is equal rights. So that is where that those peoples have to be headed, is toward equal rights and equal human dignity.
And do you see anything like that materializing while the leader of Israel is Benjamin Netanyahu?
No, but I don't see it under any of the liberal Israeli leaders, because 90% of Israeli society is for this. Israeli society, you have to understand that these are terribly segregated societies. They've created apartheid in which you have a Jewish community that is extremely mistrustful of the Palestinian community and persecutes that community. And God knows on the Palestinian side, there is great mistrust and resentment and hatred toward the Israeli community. So right now, we're in a very terrible place, and I hesitate to be prescriptive beyond that there should be a ceasefire and that measures should be taken, you know, toward, you know, lessening the violence rather than increasing it. Because as we all know, this oppression and genocide of the Palestinian people is just going to foster greater resentment and acts of violent resistance targeting civilians. That is terrorism going forward.
That was VOA's Carol Van Dam talking to Phil Weiss, editor and founder of a blog that represents Palestinian voices. And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.